Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTB comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, TruvySalonAndSpa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
I am a little more adamant in my thoughts than my wife is, because I told Judy to take the shot. She wasn't going to take it, and she never had had shots. And I'm mad with my government because they knew the facts, but they didn't release those facts, because they, if they had released them, the people wouldn't have taken them. And they can come out tomorrow and tell me there's going to be an epidemic, and they can drop off like flies to Mexico. I will not take another shot that my government tells me to take.
Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
If you were a program director, ops manager, which you are de facto, but no, yeah, you know, no one admits it, and you say like, "Hey, Mike's going to replace somebody. This is going to be who is it going to be?"
I would probably get rid of. I would keep Anna and Will, because I think they're both good. I would get rid of that show. We'd probably put some syndicated programming on it, for cheaper, and then I'd add them to different shows.
Oh, okay.
I think Will is a prize that nobody's discovered yet.
Yeah, he's a diamond in the rough for sure.
Yeah, I would put him on a different show and give him more exposure.
Okay, and. Are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This Mayor Rick Kreisman, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com and Sunshine 96.7 FM if you're in downtown St. Petersburg. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back to the program. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. HMBRadio.com is the website. Head over there. Head over to vote.cltampa.com. I need your help to win best up-and-coming radio personality, best radio personality, and best Twitter follow in the people section of Creative Loafing Tampa Bay's Best of the Bay. I don't know when it's done, but, you know, sooner the better. If you've been waiting to do it, please go over there and do that. Welcome back to the show. Big show this week? Not really. It's 400th episode. 400 episodes I've done of these. It's crazy to even think about. But 400, I wanted to do something special for number 400. I had an idea to, you know, go do some sort of live podcast, maybe get Anna out there, get, who knows, maybe Johnny would come out. Who knows who would come out? Maybe get some strangers, some other people, you know. But, life happens, things happen, and I dropped the ball on that. And 400 is not really a monumentous one. 500, now we're talking. So maybe 500 will do something like that. My idea was I wanted to do some sort of stand-up comedy show, you know, get maybe Johnny out there and some local comedians, some of my friends, to do some sort of comedy show, do a live podcast. You know, I thought it would be fun. But maybe with 500 we'll do it. Plus, COVID's still a thing. I know. It's still a thing, though. And people are still getting sick, and people don't want to come out to stuff. And a lot of people do want to come out to stuff, and then they get COVID. I just saw that comedian podcaster Joe Rogan, he was in town here at the Amelie, and then he was over in Orlando at the it's not the Amway Arena anymore, but something like that. He was over there in Orlando and got COVID. He's, not to laugh, I think he's doing okay. But it's just ironic with all the attention that Florida's getting. And then it's like, oh, man, yeah, he got it. I guess he got it here. I guess he could have got it somewhere else, too. He's been touring around, and maybe the symptoms just showed up here. But, you know, it's interesting the takes that you see for something that's a microscopic virus that you can't see and you can't really avoid unless you stay inside of your house, do a true lockdown, and just stay inside your house and don't leave. And that includes the grocery store or anything like that, and don't make any sort of contact with anyone outside of your family. I guess if they're quarantined with you, if they're not quarantined and they're out doing something, that doesn't really matter either. Just the reactions to, I don't know, it's kind of like a victim blaming type of thing where they're blaming people for getting sick. I saw that Joe Rogan was criticized because he is throwing a kitchen sink at it, as he said. He's taking vitamins and the Regeneron cocktail, and yes, even ivermectin. Oh my God, he's taking horse pills. What is wrong with this guy? The narrative on the ivermectin is something else, boy. That just blows my mind. A quick Google search, you're able to go see that ivermectin's been used all over the world in humans. Yes, it's used in animals too. Guess what? Human beings are animals. And we sometimes get worms and fungal infections, and it's used for that. It's used in Africa all over the place in developing parts of the world because they have crappy water and they get worms. And there's some connection to some studies being done. Some show that it benefits it. Some say it does nothing. I don't know what to believe. I don't know how you find out what to believe anymore. But it may be effective in treatment or even prevention of COVID-19. I don't know. I'm agnostic on it. I have no idea. I've given it up to, I'm just going to go with what my doctor says. And even that, I'll just take it or leave it as I want to. Just figure out this world alone. Navigate it as I see fit. Got to listen to the doctors. All right, well, there's doctors all over the place that are saying this, all this stuff is bad that we're doing, about at least a good chunk of them. I'm not going to say the majority or 50%, but a good chunk of them are very dubious of a lot of the things that we are doing with this whole endemic that will never end. I talked about the Doximity thing. That just blew my mind, where doctors are spreading misinformation, medical misinformation. Okay, that's a few podcasts ago if you want to go back and look at that. Or just Google Doximity. Misinformation, CNBC. I think that's where it was. That should pop right up. That's a LinkedIn for doctors, and you have to be a doctor to be on it. But it's just weird how I just don't believe that there's any sort of journalism anymore. It's just activists in these posts that just do what the regime tells them to do. It's shocking, man. I saw it today. They're blaming him. They're also blaming him for potentially giving it to thousands of people, you know, people who don't like him. There's a certain spectrum of those people that, oh, well, he might have infected a bunch of other people. I saw Corey Taylor from Stone Sour and Slipknot. He was he had COVID, too. He's vaccinated. I believe Joe Rogan is vaccinated. I'm not sure. But Corey Taylor definitely was. And he contracted COVID-19. He's touring. He's going to concerts. And he's blaming it on his fans. He told his fans, you know, you're out here. You're coming to these concerts when you're sick. Well, you don't know that's where you got it. I would say it's definitely more probable that you probably got it where the most people were, just with odds and statistics. But you don't know. You could have went into Walgreens and walked past someone who wasn't feeling well. And there was three people in the store and they were going to get cold medicine. And turned out they had freaking COVID. And to blame your fans for that is being irresponsible. I mean, this is just a bizarre perspective in my mind that people have where they're just able to, I don't know, just point the finger so easy at something that you can't see. You can't smell. You can't sense. You know, it just happens. It's something that happens. Everybody gets colds and flus. I was sick with a cold last week. And I was like, oh, crap, what if I have freaking COVID again? So I went and even got a test. And no, it was negative. You know, that's good. I'm glad. I guess my antibodies are working. I don't know. Maybe I'm just lucky that I haven't got it again. But, oh, my gosh. Just the ability for people to be so mean and nasty and wish terrible things upon people just because they do the opposite of what you want them to do, or they're not complying with what you think that they should do. It just makes me sick. And a lot of these people have coexist stickers on the back of their SUVs and their Priuses. And I just see it online and it just turns my stomach. You know, these are the compassionate people, these ones that are just disgusting human beings, frankly. But I don't know. Anyway, that clip at the beginning, I know it's all COVID, man. I don't, it's just in my face all the time. And hopefully when Anna gets here, we can talk about something else, I hope. I found this fascinating. And I found this on Facebook, okay? I'm just going to preface it with that. But it is a CBS News report from 1976. 60 Minutes, Mike Wallace. I had no idea that this happened. Was not aware. I text messaged a few of my older relatives and, you know, people in my life that are a little older. And I said, do you know that there was a 1976 swine flu pandemic and that they were giving out there was national vaccine drives for this, take this vaccine about it? And most of them went, kind of. I don't really remember that. We think that we live in unprecedented times, but really, history just repeats itself. We saw it with Afghanistan last week. And then instead of the Soviet Union, it was the United States. And again, we're dealing with this pandemic and vaccines. So what happened in 1976, there's an outbreak of swine flu, the influenza A virus subtype H1N1 at Fort Dix in New Jersey. It caused one death. It hospitalized 13 and led to a mass immunization program. After the program began, the vaccine was associated with an increase in reports of Guillain-Barré syndrome, which can cause paralysis, respiratory arrest, and death. The immunization program was ended after approximately 25% of the population in the United States had been administered the vaccine. Richard Krause, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases from 1975 to 1984, wrote that the government response to the swine flu outbreak was considered to be too fast. Now, not trying to compare the two, but there are similarities here at the very least. And it just happened on Fort Dix, and there was a couple of soldiers there that came down with this illness, and the next month there was a man who went on a 5-mile forced march and he collapsed and died. They sent samples of the disease to the CDC and most of them were just the common flu strain, and then two of them were not. And those two that were not were sent to the CDC and they found evidence of the swine influenza, the one that was related to the 1918 flu pandemic, which killed 50 to 100 million people worldwide. The CDC verified the findings and informed both the WHO and the state of New Jersey, and on February 13th, CDC Director David Sensor completed a memo calling for mass immunization for the swine flu. The CDC Assistant Director for Programs of the Center for Disease Control, Bruce Dahl, he held a press conference on February 19th to discuss a flu outbreak at Fort Dix. In response to questions from reporters, he mentioned the relationship between the flu strain and the 1918 flu outbreak. U.S. President Gerald Ford was informed on March 15th, and he suggested the immunization program. He met with a blue ribbon panel that included Jonas Salk and Albert Sabin, two of the guys who came up with the polio vaccine. Ford then made a televised announcement in support of the program. A hearing was held before the United States Subcommittee on Labor, Health, and Human Services, and a drug company spokesman requested government indemnity for vaccine manufacturers. Pharmaceutical companies Sharp and Dome, which is now American company Merrill Wealth, also refused to sell doses to government unless they were guaranteed profit, a concession that the government eventually made. The House Appropriations Committee reported that it was $135 million for the flu immunization program, which was approved on April 5th. And 2 days later, the WHO had a conference to discuss the implications of a swine flu outbreak in poor nations. So I don't know. I mean, a lot of people got sick from this vaccine. You know, there's some people that are becoming ill with this vaccine. I'm just saying there's some similarities here. Not saying it's the same thing. Not making any comment on whether you should get this vaccine now or shouldn't. I don't know. I know a lot of people are being forced to. Not forced by government, but forced by their employer. I'm currently in that boat now, it would appear. Or I'm going to have to do the constant testing. Now, we talked last week about how the city of Tampa and Mayor Castor is accepting antibody tests, positive antibody tests. So I do have that. I don't know if that would be acceptable. Still a penalty, though. I mean, I'll probably have to get that done monthly. It's a payment that I'll have to pay out of pocket for to get that test. So they're trying to make it as uncomfortable as possible for people who choose not to get this shot. And it's definitely working because I'm, you know, debating where to go get the stupid one that's fake and doesn't work. Kidding, kind of. So I don't know, man. It's just such a mess, such a racket. Go look it up. I'm going to put it in the, hopefully I remember to do this. I'm going to put it in the notes of this podcast. You can do the 60 Minutes Mike Wallace exposes the 1976 swine flu pandemic and the vaccine injuries that came from that. I just thought that was interesting, and it came up on Facebook. These things just kind of get memory hole, but that's the good thing about the internet is it's there. You just have to dig through and look for it, man, because there's so much stuff, and you get snow blindness just from all the information that's over there. But yeah, I don't know, man. 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com.
You're listening to the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.
Anna, I have bad news for you.
Oh, no.
I'm so sorry to tell you this, but you're being replaced. I got an email on LinkedIn from a person, and they want to be co-host of this podcast.
Okay.
So I'm sorry. This will be your last show. Okay. I told you I was going to surprise you.
Awesome. Why don't you tell me a little bit about this person? Is it a hot chick?
No.
Oh.
I don't know who this person is. Now, I know that... No, you're not being replaced,
okay.
By the way.
Well, thank God. Absolutely
not. It was shocking, though, how this person just thought that they could just walk into a situation. Now, I got a message on LinkedIn, and it said, "Hi, I used to work at the radio station, and I know Johnny B."
I know who this is.
You do? Oh, did you get an email as well?
I get many DMs. I've gotten messages on Facebook. I know exactly who this is.
Okay, all right, good.
The first name, I know this is a little bizarre. Does it start with a U?
It does. Yes.
Okay, yeah,
so,
I know this person.
I don't know. I doubt they listen to this podcast, by the way. I don't think they do. That's why I feel comfortable. I don't want to say the person's name, just we don't use names here when we're talking about stuff. I was shocked with the vigor that this person thought that they would be able to just walk into a situation.
Yeah.
She said, you know, I want to be a co-host. I want to get into radio. I want to, I've worked with Johnny B in the past, and I'd like to get back into some sort of radio job. Mm. But until something opens up, I would like to be co-host of your podcast.
Give it a shot, man.
No. Absolutely not. And I'll tell you why.
I think it would be hilarious.
Maybe you're right. Maybe we could work something like that.
Maybe the three of us could do a podcast. Just for
I don't think she knows that you're here. This is the thing. Like, I don't think she's listened to this before.
Perfect. Even better. Let's surprise her, because guess who got multiple messages on her vacation? Me, from this person.
It's so...
Every 6, 7, 8 weeks, about the 2 month mark, I get messages from this person about if there's an opening at the Bubba Radio Network. Mm. And I say, no, we actually just, not fired, but a few people decided to quit and we are not replacing them.
Yeah.
And she just keeps coming back. Well, will you let me know? Yes, I'll let you know. Well, can you pass this on? Yes, I will. And I do, and the operations manager doesn't get back to her for a reason. Mm-hmm. And she just keeps pushing and pushing and pushing to the point where it's obnoxious, and I finally just ignored her.
Now, I asked, because you're not the only one who has been getting messages from this person. No. I've gotten them, and also Johnny has gotten them as well. And I was shocked to learn that she had questioned him if there was a position for co-host available on his show.
Hmm, was this around the time that I was fired, perhaps?
No, this was last week.
Oh, okay, okay.
And the Johnny B Show has a co-host, me. So she was basically trying to, I wouldn't say throw me under the bus, but would have been happy if I was let go for her, so she could have filled C2. And then was also asking me for, I guess, a job, or at least a position here to get on a... I'm not going to say that this podcast is anything, but it's an established show, a weekly show that I promote on the radio.
A local gem.
A local gem.
Yeah, of course.
A local gem of a pod. Thank you. I think that's fair. I don't know how old this person is, and I don't want to be get off my lawn guy.
She's a year younger than me, I think.
Oh, so she's not really. She's. I thought she was younger.
I want to say no, she's not.
Wow. Okay. Well, this throws off everything that I was about to say.
Again,
then.
I don't know. You know me and like dates and stuff. I'd have a feeling like I think she's 1 year younger than me. Like I saw in 1988 somewhere or something.
Have you met this person? Have you talked to him in person?
I want to say maybe twice, maybe thrice in my life. And these interactions were very brief. Mm-hmm. There was a point in time that I don't even want to say work together. We worked for the same company.
Yeah.
And I believe that she was maybe like board hopping and we would see each other in the exchange, in the transition.
Okay. Now you've spoken to her.
I've spoken to her.
English is her first language.
Yes.
Okay, because I was shocked by the amount of typos in her professional emails on LinkedIn.
She is a weird white person, a person of color.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. I don't want to make any judgments or assumptions, but I'm good at them, so I will. Mm-hmm. It's one of my few talents. Like she likes anime.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I kind of got that vibe a little bit.
She likes cosplay. She's going to Comic-Con every year.
I see.
You know
what
I mean?
Now, what would you say, average intelligence, you know?
If I were to give her an IQ?
Yeah. Maybe a little below.
I would say if we're talking, again, met her three times very briefly, yeah. I would say maybe average IQ. As far as EQ goes, well
like below.
Two standard deviations below the mean.
All right. Okay? That's fair. So
most people that go to Comic-Con are.
I thought she was younger because of the entitlement that she had during this whole thing. She for some reason believed that you could just walk into a radio station and go and just be host of a show or
like
co-host.
Like be on a mic.
Like, yeah, I have things to say and people are going to want to hear it.
And I board opped once.
And I board opped for a little while, so I'm ready for the big time, for the big leagues, if you will. I'm putting that in quotes.
I think, and again, I worked with her, again, very loosely in quotes. It was certainly within like my first year at the Bone. And I think she was there a total of 6 months. Mm-hmm. I know she was working with another weird white person who ran the board at night. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of hair. Yep. Likes to date rhinos.
Sure.
Okay.
I know.
That's who she... That was her mentor.
I see.
And I feel like that was like two peas in a pod. Like, yes. That was a good match.
Yeah.
So...
And it never came to be. That's too bad. I'm surprised it never came to be, honestly. Yeah. So, yeah, just the way she spoke and how she was just ready to walk in and do... So I said, well, listen, I don't have anything. I'm all set. You know, I do all the production for my show and, you know, I have somebody that I do a show with. So I'm set there. And as far as the radio station goes, I know that they are looking for promotions people. And that's a great way to get your foot in the door. That's what I did.
I know exactly what she's going to say, but go ahead.
And I gave her, I wrote down all that. I sent her the link. I went through the trouble of going on the job board, finding a link for her, putting it in, gave her a contact email, put that in there, and I said, you know, I wish you good luck. She says, yeah, I can't do that because I have a bulged disc. I have a disc problem in my back, so I can't do promo.
She also, like, worked for the company, and I think she was let go by the company. So she probably can't go back to the person that fired her.
I see. Well,
did you ever meet her in person?
No. I did. I've never seen.
I met her before I probably even met you.
Okay.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah, no, I have no idea who this person is. Now, it was shock, and this is why I thought she was young, too, because, you know, that entitlement, but also I have two bulge discs in my back and one in my neck. I can work promo. No problem.
I think she just doesn't want
to
do
it. She doesn't want to do that. She wants to be co-host of a show.
She's a host, Will. She needs to get behind a mic because she has things to say.
Yes.
And she knows people in the biz, a.k.a. you and I. So.
and Johnny, I guess. I was just shocked by her.
Did Johnny message her back?
I think so.
Okay.
I think she was, you know, she touched base and, you know, tried to get my job. And he informed her that he already had a co-host.
Oh, maybe she thought she could be the female presence on the show.
Oh, like, she said she would do anything, you know, answer phones and any of that stuff.
Yeah.
But obviously, it's not that easy to just walk into. I don't know how anybody doesn't know this.
And it's weird because she's asking Johnny. Johnny doesn't make hiring decisions.
Yeah.
So you got to go to the administration, and I think that is the administration that fired her. So, because she worked for Cox.
Right.
Briefly. I want to say no more than 6 months. Oh, she did.
Yeah, yeah.
I say, let's get her on this program, and we could do like a little surprise party or something. I'm like, hey. And she's going to be like, who are you? And I'm like, the chick you've been messaging for
who are you? Who are both of you? I don't know who you are.
Right. And I feel like, she's probably not going to listen to this, but I feel like we could kind of dance around her a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, both of you and I do the pretending not to be judgmental thing very well, where we are just very inquisitive, but we're judging harshly inside.
So hold an audition. Just kind of get her on and ask her what she can bring.
This is casting couch, Will.
Do a job interview.
This is casting couch.
Okay. I like it.
Because I've seen those videos too. All right, I'm going to need you to suck my... Oh.
Jesus. None of that. This will be held over Zoom. I may expose myself to her. I don't know. We'll see. We will see. Wow, that's a good idea, though. Yeah, we will do that.
We gotta organize.
I'll try to set that up. Is it weird that I'm nervous to do that?
No,
I don't. I feel like is
you think
it,
she's gonna shoot you up or something?
No, I'm not worried about that. But
school shooter vibes.
You know, are we making fun of the handicapped? You know what I mean? That type of thing.
I don't think she's clinically handicapped, so we're okay.
All right.
Because it is funny, because it's like, you can make fun of someone if they're dumb. Mm-hmm. No problem. You're a moron. You're an idiot. You're an imbecile. But once it's clinical, it's in the books, once you start adding chromosomes, then you're a demon from hell for making fun of that person.
Right.
She's right in that sweet spot. She's right in that sweet spot where we can go in and go in hard, but go, she doesn't have CP. She doesn't have... Well, that's what
I thought something was going on there just by her texting. She was writing on LinkedIn, which is a professional website for professionals.
Sure.
And it was like she was texting. It was spelled words that were wrong.
Just a letter.
Yeah, yeah, that type of, now, you don't have to impress me, but it doesn't, you know, I definitely want somebody who knows how to type if I was making a decision to hire somebody.
Right.
It definitely didn't impress me.
Mm.
Not that you have to. Right. But it did not.
No, 0%.
It had the opposite effect.
Right. I say let's get her on the show maybe next week. You know what? Maybe I could even reach out to her because I have her contact, and she gets back to me within 30 seconds every time I reach out to her. So I could say, hey, listen, there's nothing at the BRN, but I'm on this podcast. We'd love to have a guest.
That's the funny thing about it is I don't even think she knows that this is a thing.
She doesn't know that you and I are connected.
Yeah. That we do this show together, but was trying to take your job. She tried to take my job.
Let's melt her mind. Let's melt her mind. But that's so funny. But yeah, she's extremely obnoxious. So I say let's get her on the show.
All right. Well, if you would facilitate that, I would prefer that.
It would be my honor to facilitate that. I could do it right after the show. Do you feel bad? Would you feel bad?
I don't know.
You're better than me because I feel 0% bad.
I'm worried about picking on the handicapped would be my only thing.
She's not clinical.
Okay, I mean, you've met her. I've never met her. By my interactions with her online, I would say, I don't feel comfortable. But you've met her, and you say it's fine.
How are we picking on the handicap? Like, if she's acting entitled.
No, I thought just by the way she typed and that maybe something was going on, and I wouldn't be comfortable with that.
Oh, there's something going on.
There's certainly something going on.
But it's fair game, is what I'm saying.
But I can't work promo because I have a bulged disc. It's like,
who doesn't have a bulged disc?
Yeah, please, everybody does.
Please, yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. So I thought she was like 22, but now that I know she's 30, that makes it even.
No, it's funny. Every once in a while, you'll meet a weird white person of color. that is an archetype of person where you're like, you are a weird white person, but you're not white. That is who you are. That's what you identify as, a weird white person, even though you are a person of color.
Anna, I have, and I wanted to get to just one piece of content before we go. I am fascinated with this. I've talked about it with Johnny. I talked about it on the afternoon show that I cover for this week. This story blows my mind, and I don't really know why. I'm not a gamer. You're not a gamer.
No.
Never play video games.
Gamers are losers.
Wow.
Unless you're on Twitch making millions, you're a loser. Sorry.
There's this game, and I was fascinated by the title of the game because it's called, I believe it's called Boyfriend Dungeon.
Okay.
Now, it's a game where you can play as it's a human, but it's also your weapon. This is weird white people stuff.
This is Asian stuff.
This is developed
by weird Japanese people.
Right.
Just letting you know.
Yes, I understand. I understand. Now you interact, and it's marketed towards gay men.
Okay.
For this game, because I don't, anyway. So there's this guy in the game. His name is Eric. He's a cute weapon nerd, is how he's built. Now, shortly after meeting him, you learn he's kind of a douche. Okay. He's your classic nice guy. He butters you up with compliments. But when you shoot him down, he becomes a negger. Are you familiar with negging? Yes.
Yeah.
You're familiar with this term.
You have to be so careful with your words.
You
have to be so careful.
That's why I said I want you to listen to me.
With your words.
But it's a thing. You can Google it.
One who negs?
Yes.
That's probably safer.
Thank you. You're right. As I said it on the afternoon show today and got the same reaction. But negging is a term where you a girl shoots you down, and then you start going, you know, you look a little, your butt looks a little big in that dress, and
it's negative attention is what it's sort of
negative attention, right. And so this guy in the game is a one who negs.
Thank you. You can't be saying that with that haircut, Will.
Now, and it doesn't matter what you do in the game, how mean you are to him. He shows up at your house in the game. He just won't leave you alone. You can't block him.
Yeah.
On Friday morning last week, Xbox Outsider managing editor Matthew Arcilla, he took to Twitter to claim that he was not only experiencing Eric's behavior, but he found it triggering.
Mm.
And
good.
The developers, he was claiming that the developers didn't do enough to properly warn players that they might feel triggered by it. And he says in this game that the game quickly establishes that this guy is nuclear waste, a completely radioactive toxic person. That's great. Sure, he says, but he's also a stalker. He won't stop texting you no matter how rude you are to him. You can't even block his number.
I'm sorry, and this is a person that is playing a game that they find distressing.
Yes.
And they could easily just stop playing the
game.
Okay.
But he doesn't do that. He chooses to continue on for some reason.
Sure. Okay.
He says in a follow-up tweet that, I did not consent to this. I know for some games this is just par for the course, but it's 2021, and I didn't ask Boyfriend Dungeon to place me into an extremely distressing situation from which I can tell I cannot opt out of. As you pointed out, Anna, you are able to opt out by turning the game off.
Yeah, just like putting it down, like walking away.
Yeah.
Like going outside and getting some sunshine or something.
Right.
Yeah.
That, okay. Or if you don't even want to do that, just put in another game
Or that
you
too.
Like.
Right.
And play that instead.
Have a snack or something.
Sure. Yeah. And the funny thing about this, instead of this Kit Fox Games, you know, the company that made this, saying, just turn the game off. Do you know who Tyler, the Creator, is? Rapper?
Yes. Yes.
He had a great tweet a long time ago, and I think it's a meme now. It was so good. But he was laughing at the idea of cyberbullying. He goes, how is that even a thing? You just turn off the computer and it goes away.
Yeah.
It's not a thing. She's kind of right. We live in a more online world now, but he's pretty much right.
Right.
Just turn it off and mm-hmm. go live your life.
Right.
So instead of saying, just Matthew, perhaps this game isn't for you.
Right.
Of course, this video game company went in and said, the content warning for Boyfriend Dungeon inadequately describes the events of stalking and emotional manipulation that exists in the story. We'll update the game next week with a more accurate CW content warning. We apologize for any hurt inflicted by our mistake. And thank you for playing.
Wow.
And one more thing. which is why I'm so obsessed with this story. Because the actor who voiced Eric in this game, the crazy stalker guy, started getting harassed.
Just the guy who voiced the guy who the voiced character.
The character in the game got harassed on Twitter. The guy's name is Alexander Gross. He's just a voice actor. He got hired for a job.
Yeah.
And he had to put out a message on his social media accounts. He says, hey, I can't even believe I have to address this, but please don't send me hate messages about my character in Boyfriend Dungeon. I know he sucks, but I'm just a voice actor. Please be respectful. He continued to address those equating him with his on-screen character by emphasizing that Eric does not exemplify his real-life beliefs.
Please tell me he was getting death threats.
Yes,
please
he was.
Please tell me he was getting death
he
threats.
He was. He was getting harassed.
Oh, this is great.
He was saying, saying it reflects poorly on me to play a character like this is so confusing. There's bad people out there. I don't want these kind of people. I don't support what these kind of people are doing, saying, and thinking at all. It's just acting.
Yeah, like, have you ever seen a movie where there's a bad guy?
Right. I mean, without those characters, you don't have anything.
You have no story.
You just have a utopia world where everything's right. great. Nobody wants to watch that.
No.
There has to be conflict
of
in
course.
Order to...
That's what's entertaining.
It's just like, and I think that mental illness is off the charts.
Okay.
And I think instead of people getting treatment, that they're just going online and getting their mental illness... what's the right word there?
Just like an outlet?
People are saying, no, you're not mentally ill. You're actually right. You know, it's not that you're mentally ill. You're right in like thinking these things.
They're getting, like, their feelings are verified.
Mm.
Yeah.
Confirmed.
Yeah, confirmed. Yeah, remember when I said people who game are losers?
Yeah.
This is why. I mean, again, there's lots of people that are losers, but I actually had this conversation with a coworker yesterday. I go, when people tell me that their son or daughter is this word, I know that they're going to amount to nothing in their life. And I was like, do you know what that word is?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no. I'm like, it's gamer. I'm not kidding. Unless you're like... okay, and I'm saying this as someone who gets like most of my check from Twitch, which is a gaming streaming site.
Yeah.
Some people on there are murdering. Like, they're making hundreds of thousands of dollars a month. Like, it's crazy. There's a guy named, I don't know Twitch or gamers, but I've heard this name a few times. Tfue?
Nope.
Okay, he's a guy, like a 22-year-old kid in Florida, I think in Madeira Beach, and he's making millions and millions of dollars gaming.
Oh, wait, I might have had him on the show. I had some, is he play Halo?
Halo or Fortnite, so I don't know. Grand Theft Auto, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
I did have a professional gamer on. He won the Xbox World
title. It was probably him.
Something.
It was probably Tfue, but that's the only like name that I know, and he's massive on Twitch. I think he's like their top earner or something like that.
Wow.
So that guy is he's a rich loser. Can I say that?
Mm.
But people who game have no lives. They are, it's a sad state of affairs that you're, and these people who are Gen Z, right? I'm describing this archetype of person, Gen Z, they don't have a license yet.
Mm.
This is, they have,
and they don't want it.
They don't want it because the game is their entertainment. It's their social circle. It's the way that they, it's their hobby, it's their life, it's everything. And when I hear from parents, you know, who are maybe like in their 40s and 50s that they have kids between the ages of like 16 and 21, that, oh, well, you know, my kid has didn't go to college or isn't doing this, or, you know, they just like, they're gamers. I go, mm-hmm.
Well, it's weird because
they're losers.
More than likely they will be, but there's also hope. I mean, they're giving out college scholarships now for this. There's teams forming. There's professional leagues that actually pay.
Okay.
Now, you probably have...
What's the percentage of those that are doing
but
that
what's
stuff?
The percentage of kids who that are playing football, you know, that are going to make it to the NFL, or kids who want to be rappers that are going to make it a career in rap? You know, mm-hmm. It's kind of the same thing little bit. So, I don't know. I kind of feel like it's the same thing, but I would not like it if my son or daughter was a gamer.
At least if you're playing football, you're doing something like that. Exercise and like hanging out with people in real time is like good for your soul and your mind and your body and your spirit and everything like that. I don't think gaming offers you those same sorts of benefits. Do you know what I mean?
I agree.
I would say that like if someone is a football player and aspiring football player, they've gained a lot of things like discipline, teamwork, whatever, just being accountable. Like those are the skills, even if they don't make it to the big leagues, they've acquired those skills. They're athletic, whatever the case may be. People who are gamers, I don't think that they have discipline. I think that they have an addiction. Like that's the difference there. I think I don't think that they're not going outside. You know, if you take the football away from the football player, do they throw a tantrum? No. I've seen gamers throw tantrums if you ruin their game or something like that, even if they're making no money from it.
You know, I've seen athletes throw tantrums too. But,
sure, sure. You know. But I mean, like, I just don't think anything about being in front of a screen for 20 hours a day is healthy and not seeing people in real time. That's why I think those people are losers.
That's where we're going, though, inside the computers. All right, that's the show. Follow me, home_made_man on Instagram and Twitter, and follow Anna at Anna Hummel Radio. Do go over to CL Tampa and vote in the Creative Loafing Best of the Bay. Me, best radio personality, best up-and-coming radio personality, best Twitter follow, home_made_man, and do follow me over there for some good fun. Not clean fun, but good fun. Good fun. And get in touch with the show at 813-693-2124. Have a great week. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, thanks. Share it with a friend. Tweet it. Do whatever. Put it on your Facebook. Whatever. So make a tape of it and send it to your friend in the mail, like a lunatic. Do whatever you have to do, because it really helps me out. Give it a 5-star rating on iTunes or wherever you're listening to your podcast. It only takes a second. Really helps us out. You can get a HMB Radio hoodie and a shirt and some other stuff at hmbradio.com/store. Or if you'd like to make a small donation or a large donation, you can go to hmbradio.com/donate if you're enjoying the program. Appreciate that. Many of you have done that, and I thank you very much. All right, everybody. Have a great week. My name is Will Koontz. This has been HMB Radio on Radio stpete.com. Talk to you soon. Love you. Bye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.